All right, today being the 10th day of August 2025, we're going to look at lesson number 7. Lesson number 7 today, and this lesson today is one entitled Facing Opposition. Facing Opposition. I don't know if you know about this or not, but in the Christian life, there's going to be some opposition. Any of you ever have to face that? Any of you ever have to face opposition? Here in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4 through Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 14. That's not but 4, 5, and 6. That's not but 3 chapters I got to get through today, okay? So we're going to try to get through this as quickly as we can. But I want you to look at this today. Facing opposition. Our theme verse for this lesson today is found in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 9. And Nehemiah said here, "Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies?" And I want to ask you this question. How do you handle spiritual opposition? How do you handle it? We don't need to have this attitude that, well, the devil's fighting me, so I'm just going to quit. No, that's not what we do. We need to determine to stand. If you'll read over the book of Ephesians, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And it's all done for one purpose. And what is that purpose? That you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. The way that you and I handle and respond to spiritual opposition as spiritual leaders, both in our home, in our churches, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, wherever we work, it's either going to make us or break us in our role as a spiritual leader of God's people. We cannot just simply quit and get discouraged every time the devil throws up his stinky old head. Because he knows his days are numbered, folks. He knows his days are numbered, and he's going to do all that he can do to fight you and me. Listen, let me remind you of this today. God gives us eternal, everlasting life when he saves us. You realize that, right? Eternal, everlasting life. That means it can never be taken away. God is not an Indian giver. He gives it to us today and takes it away tomorrow because we fail him in some way. When my children were born, okay, our children were born in our family, they were ours because the birth made them ours. And guess what? They're still ours. I remember our daughter. Man, she used to love to watch Cinderella. And oh, she'd watch Cinderella drive off with Prince Charming. I think about Prince Charming. I think about Mrs. Real's dog. His name is Prince Charming, okay? Little white dog. But she would say, oh, that's what I want. And I would tell her, I'd say, Heather, honey, you're going to get married. You're going to marry some old guy and leave your mom and daddy? She said, uh-huh. And old Stephen, he'd come up and sit on my lap. And he's 4 years younger than Heather was. He'd come up and sit on my lap and he'd say, Daddy, don't worry. I'll never leave you. And I looked at Lisa and I said, that'll be our luck. That'll be our luck. He'll never leave us. But you know what? They're our children no matter what happens, okay? Whether they're good or they're bad, they're still our children. And you know what? God only has two kinds of children. Ones that love him enough to obey him and do what he says do. Or ones who don't love him enough and they choose not to do what God says do. They're still his children. But you know what? He wants us to love him enough to trust his word, to abide in his word, to do what he says do. God gives us everlasting life. And let me tell you something. The devil knows that. The devil knows that he can never unsave us, never make us not God's child once we're born into God's family. But this is what the devil will do. He will try to make us to be ineffective in our life as a born-again child of God. He will try to make us to be so that we are a hindrance instead of a help to those around us, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors, to the folks that we work with. He'll try to get our eyes focused on everything else around us instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if the devil can get us sidetracked, that's exactly what he will try to do. And folks, that's what the devil tried to do in this work with the children of Israel. He wanted to sidetrack them. He wanted to distract them. He wanted to get them where they were not keeping their eyes on God, and they got discouraged by all the things around them. And soon they would quit doing what God had called them to do, and that was to rebuild the city, rebuild the walls. And oftentimes the enemies of the work of God will attack God's people head on. And they'll attack with every effort, even as we read here in the book of Nehemiah. Now I want you to look here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 11. I've got a clipboard down here at the bottom. My big feet keep hitting that thing. I don't want to hear a snap and it get my toe. That'd be bad. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 11. Look what the Bible said here in this verse. Nehemiah wrote, he said, "And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of among them and slay them," and what? "Cause the work to cease." That's what the devil wants to do, to cause the work of God to cease. But thank God for a man named Nehemiah that said, "You know what? I know what the devil's going to do. I know what the enemies of God are going to try to do. And we're going to make sure we don't let that happen." And so Nehemiah faced opposition. And you know, I know that a lot of times the devil does discourage us. He discourages us. He tries to do everything he can to dishearten us and get our eyes off of doing what we're supposed to be doing for God. And you say, "Well, preacher, how can I stop the devil from discouraging me?" Let me tell you the facts today. You will never, ever, on this side of heaven, be able to get the devil to stop trying to discourage you. That's what he does. That's all he can do. He can try to discourage you. He can throw obstacles and roadblocks in your life. That's all he can do. But you know, the Bible tells me, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." And that's why we have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at this lesson today. God's work can indeed be accomplished if we will keep our eyes on the work. Listen, we're going to face opposition in this world, folks. We're going to face it. But what we need to do is realize that as we are facing it, we're fighting against it. If we turn around the other way and we get all the opposition behind us, we're going the wrong direction. And you know what? We've got to face the devil. And we need to face him with the Word of God. We need to face him standing on the promises of God, that we can be able to continue on and do what God said do. So I want us to look at this today, facing opposition. Let's look at it today. We're going to start here in the book of Nehemiah. I want to share with you four R's today in this lesson that will help you to understand what Nehemiah did when he faced opposition. All right? And why he did it, and what you can do that he did to help you when you have to face opposition as well. All right? First of all, number one, we've got to recognize the fact of opposition that's going to come whenever you try to serve God. When you serve God in any manner, whether it's just being faithful to come to church, listen, Sunday morning, that bed never sleeps so good as it does on Sunday morning. That crazy cuckoo clock went off on my phone this morning, and I thought, it can't be morning already. It just can't be morning. I look at Precious, and she's down at the foot of the bed, and she just looks up like, "Will you turn that thing off?" You know? And I get up and get ready and come in. But you know what? Once I get up and get going, it's all right. Amen. But you're going to face the fact, you need to just recognize the fact that in the service of the Lord, opposition is going to come. It's going to happen. We see this in our lesson this morning. Nehemiah had to face ridicule from the enemies of God here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. In Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 19, Nehemiah had to face the sin of personal pride and greed among his own people. Among his own people that were doing the work of God. And then in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, he had to face the enemy's plots against his own life. They were out to get him. They were out to destroy him. So Nehemiah, first of all, had to boldly recognize the fact that, listen, in the service of the Lord, opposition will indeed come. Do you understand that today? Does everybody understand opposition is going to come? Listen, if you're going through this life and you don't have any problems with the devil fighting you, you better check up. Okay? Listen, we're going head on against the adversary today. And you know what? When you stand faithfully for God, you're going to have opposition. Secondly, we got to realize that you and I, as servants of the Most High God, we must respond to opposition through fervent prayer unto God and a predetermined trust in His Word. Michaela, good to see you today, lady. Thank you for getting to come. Amen. Good to see you. She got baptized last Sunday. She and her brother. Amen. And they're here today. God bless them. Amen. Thirdly, let me give you this real quick, okay? Thirdly, we got to determine our hearts to refuse to become distracted from performing the work that God has given to us and commanded us to do so that we don't become discouraged and quit. We gotta refuse to become distracted. We just got to make up our mind. Sometimes the devil's going to slip that thought in your heart and in your mind. Well, I'll just quit. It'd just be better to quit than to keep on going for the Lord. But folks, listen to me. Never forget this fact. The devil is a liar. Amen. The devil is a liar. And you know what? I can't depend on anything he says. Jesus said this. Mark it down. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said this. He described Satan. And he said that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So don't let the devil get you sidetracked. Don't let the devil keep you from doing what God has commanded you to do and what God has promised to enable you to do through His power and not your own. Listen, we can't do this in our own power, in our own strength. We can't serve the Lord that way. We got to live in God's power and in God's strength. But then fourthly, we need to rejoice in the fact and in the privilege of knowing that when what we can do for the Lord faithfully, and we can do it boldly when we choose to serve the Lord in godly integrity and firmness of heart. I'm telling you today, folks, we need to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the fact. I heard one fellow say, sometimes you got to rejoice on credit because you know the blessing is going to come. Amen? And sometimes we may have to do that. But you know what we need to do? We need to rejoice. Why? Because my name's been written in the book of life. And nothing that the devil throws at me, nothing that he does against me. Listen, he may harm this body. This old body may get sick, lame, lazy, and one day die. But I'm going to be with heaven, in heaven with Jesus. So therefore, for me to live upon this earth, Paul said, to live is Christ. And to die, it's just the chocolate, German chocolate icing on the cake. Amen. To be able to go to heaven and be with Him. and stand before him and say, Lord, through your strength, I was able to continue on. Amen. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now let's look at this thing today. Nehemiah chapter 4. I want us to consider Nehemiah's first opposition. His first opposition. I do not like to quit on anything. My wife fusses at me. She said, you need to go to bed and forget about it till tomorrow. And I said, I'm not going to bed till I fix this thing. And it may be 3 o'clock in the morning before I get it fixed, but it's going to be fixed before I go to bed. It drives me crazy to lay there and think all night long, how am I going to do this tomorrow? I want to do it right then. I want to fix it right then. And you know what? When the devil comes and opposes you, don't put off going to God. Don't put off determining in your heart and mind right then that you're going to continue to be found faithful. Serve him faithfully. Verses 1 through 3, we see how Nehemiah faced ridicule. As we saw last week, how God was blessing the work in Nehemiah chapter 3. All right, we saw that last week. So now we read in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Look at what it said. But it came to pass, and folks, it always does. When God blesses, the devil gets mad about it, and he throws a little temper tantrum. Well, I just love to make him mad. Amen? I just love to make the devil mad. And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Well, it kind of sounds like our political world today, does it not? Amen. You stand up for truth and righteousness, and man, they want to mock and ridicule and call you all sorts of names and use bad words. I have never seen a bunch of women curse and use such foul language as we do in our political world, in our society today. My goodness, I just can't believe all the mess that's going on today. But the heart of the problem, folks, is a problem with the heart. And that's what needs to be fixed. And they can only fix that if they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Well, let me get on to the message here. And he spake before his brethren. Now, this is Sanballat. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. And I can just hear him laughing, just mocking and trying to ridicule them. Notice here that when the enemies of God heard how God was blessing these Jews in rebuilding the walls of that great city, the Bible said that Sanballat, he was wroth, he took great indignation, he got mad, and he mocked the people doing the work. He mocked the Jews. Now, do you think the devil's going to do anything different with you and me today? He's not going to do a thing any different. His plan never changes. His way of doing things never changes. This is how the devil usually does with something like this with the children of God as well. He will mock you. He'll get mad at you. He'll mock you. Oh, he'll just be all mad. And you know what? We're seeing that in our world today. We're seeing how that folks know what the Bible says, but they willfully and they willingly reject it as truth. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear what God has to say. And folks, that's Romans chapter 1. If you read Romans chapter 1, we're seeing all those things come to pass. We're seeing all those things happen. Good and evil battling one another continually. Evil men departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. As we read over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So now after Sanballat had falsely accused the Jews back in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 19, he now chooses to mock them, to ridicule them in order to gain favor with the rest of the devil's crowd, okay? And they want to do everything they can do for one purpose, and that is to stop them from building the wall. Now look in verses 4 through 6, how Nehemiah responds to all this through prayer and spiritual determination. He had some, what we used to call down south, I don't know if y'all know this word up here, he had some spiritual spizzorinctum. Y'all ever heard of that? No. Spiritual spizzorinctum. That means he had some intestinal fortitude. They used to call it, he had guts for God. Amen. He had guts for God. And he stood. And instead of striking out in revenge at his accusers, he didn't do that. Nehemiah took his burden to the Lord and he left it there. Amen. And look what he said in verses 4 through 6. He said, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity and cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Look what he said. "So built we the wall." What's he saying? We did not quit. Amen. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Amen. They built the wall all the way around the city unto the half thereof, half the height of what it needed to be. They got the foundations built all the way around that city. Wisdom and trust in God is what Nehemiah took hold of. He trusted God to make the right decision. He trusted God to be faithful to his word. And look at this. I want you to go back. Turn over to the book of Matthew just a moment. Matthew chapter number 5. In Matthew chapter number 5, verses 10 through 12, Jesus said something here. I want you to see. I think it will be an encouragement to you. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And then what does he say? "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Why? Because, honey, you're on the winning side. Amen? You're on the winning side. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I want you to turn now to 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 this morning. And here we read of our Lord's example when he was reviled, when he was rejected by wicked men, when they took him and mocked him and accused him of things that he did not do. Peter wrote these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 21. He said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us," what? "An example, that ye should follow his steps." Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look what he said. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not." But look at this. "But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." You know what? We need to commit ourselves unto God. Amen. We commit ourselves unto the one who has saved us and got, given us eternal, everlasting life. Look at this. He said, "But when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." Folks, when the enemies of God set out to ridicule you and to revile you, let Jesus be the example that you choose to follow. Amen? He needs to be our example today. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice here that as Nehemiah prayed, and as he asked God for strength before his enemies, he also asked God to do something else. He said, God, turn their reproach upon their own head. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity. In other words, make it known to everybody what they're doing. Let everybody know that they're wicked. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. You know what? Their intentions were not only to mock the people, but it was to stop them from serving God, and it was to mock the God that they served. And folks, that's what the devil does. But look at verse number 6. We see what the people did when they saw Nehemiah do what he did. And you know what? Listen to me today. Your family today is watching for you and I to go through some hard times. They watch us. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe with all my heart that God, there are times that God allows us to go through some terrible times, some heartaches, some troubles, some health issues, some things that just knock us off our rocker, so to speak, so that we can not only learn to trust God, but so that those folks around us can see God working in us. You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. I just gave this verse to somebody today. I can't remember now who it was. Brother Ray, I think it was. Brother Ray Gulp back there. You pray for him. He's got to go in for bladder cancer surgery and some other issues. But listen, Paul wrote this. He said, but we have this treasure, this gift of eternal life, this great gift of salvation. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, folks, they need to see Christ in us. And you know what? That's what happened here with Nehemiah. When Nehemiah made his mind up, you know what? I'm not going to let them distract me. I'm not going to let them get me all upset. I'm not going to do that in front of my people. I'm going to encourage my people to just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep on keeping on doing the work that God has set for us to do. And when the people saw Nehemiah do for God what Nehemiah was doing, the Bible said here that they built the wall. And all the wall was joined unto the half thereof. Why? For the people had a mind to work. But now listen to me, as the people worked and determined in their hearts that they were going to take the burden that they had to the Lord and leave it there, the Bible shows us here in verses 7 through 23 how that Nehemiah and the people faced yet a second opposition. The first one was mocking and ridicule. But look at this, in verses 7 and 8, in these verses we see how Nehemiah faced the discouragement of the people themselves. Now look at this, verses 7 and 8. It talks about how as the people worked to build the walls, the devil also worked to bring forth even more discouragement and despair unto them. Look at what it said. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to what? To hinder it. Buddy, the devil won't stop with just mocking you. The devil won't stop with just ridiculing you. He's going to do everything in his power to hinder you from doing what you do for God. Sometimes we have to go through some situation like that. And man, we get to the point. Listen, these folks, they didn't care. All they wanted was the work to stop. They didn't care what happened to the Jews. They just wanted the work to stop. And that's all the devil wants. He doesn't care if people die and go to hell. Listen, all he wants is to get back at God. And if he can come between you and your service unto the Lord, he's going to do everything he can do to help you to stop that. He's going to do what he can do to hinder you. And once again, as the devil threw all his fiery darts of discouragement and destruction against Nehemiah, and now against the people of God, we read in verse number 9, nevertheless, I like that. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. But even as they prayed, and they set a watch against the enemies of God that seemed to surround them from every side, we read here in verses 10 through 12, the seeds of discouragement began to still take root within the hearts of the people. And look at verses 10 through 12. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we were not able to build a wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. 10 times. Can you imagine the devil fighting? What would Nehemiah do in a situation like this? Well, look at verses 13 through 23. We look how Nehemiah responded with both faith and strategy. Let's read it. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. If they had a Glock, or a Sig Sauer, or a Smith & Wesson, that had all those things there too. But they took their bows, they took their swords, they took everything, and they said, well, you know what? We're going to protect our families as we do the work of God. And look what else he said. He said, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they which bare burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. And for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Amen. If they heard, saw something going on bad, they were going to sound the trumpet and let folks know, listen, the battle is on. Get your sword, and we're going to defend our families, our loved ones. Folks, listen today. The battle is for the souls of your loved ones today. The battle going on today is for your family and for the folks that you work with, the folks that you know. And folks, we need to just determine. We're going to carry forth the sword of the Word of God, and we're going to go forth and work in the field. We're going to do what God said do. Don't quit. Don't give up. Why? Because as we're going to look here now in the next chapter, in verses 1 through 5, Nehemiah has to face yet a third opposition. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you about it, all right? Amen. Hey, listen, the devil is relentless, but our Savior is victorious. Amen. And we are doing all that we do in the power of God. Let's remember that today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. Oh, God, what an honor it is to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. And Lord, I wouldn't trade serving you for anything in this world. And Lord, I know the opposition is going to come. I know the devil is going to fight. The devil is going to try to do all he can do to stop us from building the walls and rebuilding our country and telling folks about the Savior. But God, help us to have a mind and a heart to do the work today. Help us, God, to keep our eyes on you and not on those around us. Please, Lord, help us, God, to be found faithful. Lord, bless our pastor now as he stands to preach for us. Help us, God, to go into that auditorium today with an empty bucket that wants to be filled. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.